As I wish that earth
Chris. Chris, I have to start the episode now. Chris, I have to start the podcast.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I've got the soundtrack on. Sorry, guys. Let's start. We can go.
Okay. No problem. Ladies, pet your kitties. Gentlemen, cover your genitals. We just watched Psycho Betty's from Planet Pussycat, and the fur is about to fly on...
B-movie Pussycat!
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-movie mania! And now, B-movie maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and crazy Chris Hudson.
A second movie of the season where we made meow noises.
Did somebody say my name?
Is your name meow noises? Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to B-Movie Mania. I am your host this time around, Jason Hulls. And the whole crew is here this time. We have Chris Hudson.
Meow!
Mike Hayes.
Hi.
Paul Brooks.
Meow!
Oh, God.
I was ready.
Oh, boy, he had it loaded. Man, okay, so, yes, we watched the film Psycho Betty's from Planet Pussycat. It is a movie from, it's a low budget musical from Egg Murders Productions, whose slogan I found pretty funny, extraordinary works from extraordinary jerks.
Okay.
That's their company slogan. Aaron Hendren is the director and mastermind behind all of this. I thought this movie checked off a box that we hadn't, checked off yet here on B-Movie Mania, and that's musicals.
We've never done a musical?
No.
Not on the podcast.
So I thought it would be something different. And folks, this one, I feel like we're going right into the deep end on this one.
Actually, before we get too deep into stuff, I did have a question, Jay, for you and Chris. Non-related to Psycho Betty's, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Sure.
Well, is everything okay with you two? Because me and Mike were handling stuff last week, and we were a little concerned. You know, you weren't on the show.
Yeah, that was a little rough. Yeah. I got to apologize for that.
Hey, but we're here this week.
You are. Ashley did a great job filling in, so thanks to her once again.
Yeah, thanks again, Ashley.
I just never want to talk about last week again.
That's what I was going to say. I really don't want to go into what happened and how we escaped or what Chris had to do.
Oh, God.
But hey, your supplement was great, so thanks for that.
Yeah, sure, that was really fun.
And we didn't want to let anybody down. We had to do something.
Well, yeah. I had to do what I had to do. We'll just put it that way. And I think Jay reaped the benefits.
Got it. I'll pretend like I know what you're talking about.
And we will never talk about it again.
So, Psycho Betty's from Planet Pussycat, 2011. Let me give you a quick summary, and then we'll get into some quick takes. 20 years ago, a virus killed off all the males on Planet Pussycat. Faced with inevitable extinction, Queen Betty of Pussycat hatched a plan to save her loyal subjects, the remaining population known as Betty's. After receiving Earth's television signals, four chosen Bettys traveled to Earth in a search of men for procreation or dismemberment. That's pretty much it. Yeah, everything was done and masterminded by Aaron Hendren. I can't wait to... this is one... I honestly have no idea what you guys think. Normally, we get a sense of it through, like, texts or, like, commenting or something, like... I really have no idea what you guys thought of this, so I'm excited to get into it. Let's start with some quick takes.
Quick takes!
Well, Chris, I want to start with you because you had the music going in the beginning of this whole thing. So why don't you tell me what you thought of Psycho Betty's from Planet Pussycat?
Well, guys, I'm not entirely certain. Just kidding. I enjoyed the shit out of this movie.
Oh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Mike.
Boy. Oh, boy. This, oh, my stars. This movie, ooh, oh, boy. Oh.
Paul.
My quick take deals with not just Psycho Betty's from Planet Pussycat, but also Phobe. The Xenophobic Experience, Land of College Prophets. What is it about the last quarter of the season that drives us to pick these just ultra-low-budget crap movies? What is it? Last year it was fucking...
Fungicide
and all that shit. It just gets shitty at the end.
Like, something about me is changing, I think, in my mind, that when I see this low-budget, super low-budget stuff, I'm just like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, because I feel like that used to not be your jam so much.
Hey, Paul, don't worry. I got something a little higher budget waiting for you.
Good, yeah, let's switch it up a little bit, Hudson. Yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah.
My quick take, I'm not a big fan of musicals. I pretty much, like, you know, I like Willy Wonka, Wizard of Oz, and Rocky Horror, and that's you know, I mean, I just don't get into musicals very much, but now I can add Psycho Betty's from Planet Pussycat to the list, the very short list of musicals that I like.
Congratulations to Psycho Betty's for being on that short list.
Right off the bat, somebody talked to me about the look of this movie. We start on Planet Pussycat, right?
It looks like it's been reheated.
What makes you say that, Mike?
Don't put Planet Pussycat in a microwave.
Yeah, Planet Pussycat is literally made of aluminum foil, the entire planet.
Jay,
every surface.
Jay, the first note that I have is the tin foil world in the same universe as Neil Breen's garbage bag world or no?
Oh, they might be separate and touching worlds.
They might be in the same universe but different worlds.
That's a good point.
Yeah, who knows? Should we be afraid? I guess, Paul, is the question I have.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like just unapologetically made of boxes and tinfoil.
This movie is camp. This movie is straight camp in every aspect.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Like, it's a campy movie. That's the bit. So, like, they're doing it. What the fuck is going on?
I get used to it. I have a feeling he's going to be doing that a lot tonight.
Hey, it's just the opening theme song. Come on.
That's true. Mm-hmm. But it's super campy, right?
It is,
unapologetically.
Yeah. And, like, much of, like, when they talk to the queen in the beginning, when they're explaining sort of what happens and everything, it's a green screen, and it's sort of purposely psychedelic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I kind of enjoyed that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's part of what makes it work is the fact that they're not trying to fool you that this is some sort of big production.
No.
They're like, we know what this is. You know what this is. Let's just roll with it.
Especially when they get into their spaceship. Oh, my God.
Wait, please. I want to give the spaceship its proper due.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get to that. Yeah. So let's talk about the four main characters, the Bettys.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Any thoughts on those, Paul, on the Bettys?
There's an elephant in the room here, so put that sound effect in right now.
Okay.
They are all named Betty, and let me see if I can do this. Betty Lou?
Betty Who?
Who?
Betty Who? Betty Who? Betty Pooh? Betty Blue? And then what's the fourth one?
Betty Caw.
Yeah. But, Chris, you are well aware of what the elephant in the room is because You portrayed a character.
I have to put in the sound every time you say that.
You are well aware of what the elephant in the room is because you portrayed a character by the name of Betty Blue in my short film, my 2005 short film, Drag Racing.
Yes.
So, interesting little connection there.
That really helped me get into the character's heads. I really, like Betty Blue was, you can almost say is the main character.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it
sure.
Really helped,
yeah.
And it really helped me understand what's going on in her head and really helped me identify with the with not just Betty Blue in this movie, but all of the Bettys.
Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff. And they're cool characters. Yeah.
They are. Yeah. And the three Betty Who, Betty Pooh, and Betty Kaw.
Hey, it helps to you remember that the actresses, they got their Betty name from their actual last names.
That's true, yeah. Except Blue, right? I mean,
except
Betty Blue
yeah.
didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So though they're very like militant. They're sent by the Queen, go to Earth, get men to procreate, and for some reason the Queen's like, well, you need a fourth person, so go get Betty Blue. And then we're treated to the first rock anthem.
Well, that helps the Queen Betty get that country vote because it's an election year, and yep. Betty Blue is a farmer, so she needs to kind of get that rural vote.
Yeah, what's that scene look like when we first meet Betty Blue?
God,
it's definitely Blue.
So good.
Is this a stage production originally? Does anyone know? Because that,
I don't know. That's what I thought too.
Yeah, because that looks like a stage production. It's the setup is there's a bunch of hay bales and then a wagon wheel, and that's it. A green screen behind her, so she's just dancing. Not dancing. She's standing there, holding like touching the wagon wheel and just singing.
It's so weird that we thought the same thing. I thought to myself, this looks like I got high and went to like a community theater production of this movie.
In my notes, it says, I feel like I'm watching a film version of a community theater production.
The singing, the music is about community theater quality, I'd say.
Well, you know,
just coming out like a dick, huh? Tonight.
Well, I mean, I no offense,
because
the music is catchy as hell, and I've been listening to the goddamn soundtrack all day and singing along with it. So, but
he's not kidding.
Yeah.
No, we heard it earlier.
Yeah, really? There are some. Yeah, I think there's a couple voices that are really good. There's some that are a little less than as good as the others. I would argue the songwriting is very bad.
Ouch.
Well, I would disagree with that a lot. Actually, I would say that the songwriting is actually pretty good, but maybe the execution
leaves
something to be desired.
Do I need to bust out lyrics for you guys?
You do. You, actually, otherwise I'm not going to believe you. Yes, you do.
I'll do it later when that song comes up. I've got one written out that's a good example.
Okay. No, I thought the music was decent.
Yeah, no, I think so too.
I just thought it was recorded poorly.
Right.
We're talking tinfoil houses here. Like,
oh, yeah.
They used what they could to get the songs done. And, you know, some of it was friends, some of it convenience, you know, I mean, it's not like a Broadway or anything.
Yeah. I took a quick look at IMDb and, some of these actors haven't done a lot. I didn't look at everybody, but Betty Blue has only been in, I think, like one other thing other than this. So I think you're right.
Yeah. So,
I only mean by very, okay, I said very bad. That's harsh and incorrect. What I mean is it's nonsensical to the most part, but it's very repetitive in that same way too. So it just says like the same kind of stuff that doesn't apply to the situation. Like usually in a musical, they sing and it's about the situation.
Okay.
But there's so many lines that are just like, what? This? The only reason this is in here because that's a word that rhymes. Like,
so,
it's a little.
Yeah. Is it fair to say it maybe didn't advance the plot as much as you would like?
Well, in a musical, that's the whole point.
Yeah, right.
The other, Jay, if I could say really quick, the one other thing about the music that I got a really heavy vibe off of. I know that this movie came out in 2011, but the whole time I'm watching the movie and listening to the songs, I got a very distinct sort of 90s vibe from it.
Yeah.
Did anyone else get that?
Oh,
at all?
For sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I can totally see that, yeah. Now that you mentioned
a lot of guitar, a lot of, you know, like female driven vocals, and just sort of, I don't know, it kind of took me back to my high school days of listening to stuff that sort of sounded like that.
For too long, I've been wishing on the stars, saving pennies in the jars for so long.
I wonder if some of these women who maybe haven't been in films do like burlesque or other types of dance, perhaps?
Could be.
I also spent all day Facebook stalking everyone while listening to the soundtrack. And
wow.
I did.
I'm not surprised about that at all.
And it doesn't look like any of them do burlesque. Buddy Pooh is in a band. But the rest
of
them.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. There's some dance moves, though, at the end that are kind of like, oh, you're doing some handstands and some other stuff. So I thought maybe there might have been some sort of something with that.
So the girls all get together and Betty Blue talks about how she's never seen a man, and she's just a farm girl. She isn't a soldier like the others.
Oh, but Jay.
Yes.
At the end of her song, she pulls out her drawing of her ideal man from, she's hidden, tucked away under the hay bales. She pulls out this huge drawing.
It's terrible.
It's great. And it keeps showing up. It plays later. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we're going to post a photo of her ideal man.
Yeah. So good.
So she doesn't know what to say to a guy.
Well, Jay, as Betty Blue, let me reenact that for you.
Go ahead, Chris. Thank you.
I'm identified with this. The actual line is, "Oh, those are very broad shoulders and lumpy genitals. May I have a peek?"
"Hello. Those are very broad shoulders and lumpy genitals. May I have a peek?"
That was fantastic, Chris.
The thing about that is, if a woman said that to me, I'd be like, hell yeah, you can.
This brings up one of my favorite little bits of the movie, is the meow transition.
Oh, God, yeah.
There's not a ton of them, but every once in a while you'll hear a meow, and we see the pussycat, like, insignia, and then they just are all in a different scene. It's like the bat signal in Batman, you know, when it would, like, race toward the camera.
Yeah.
That's sort of the same.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're watching television.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Paul is trying to choke something down.
Okay, sorry. You know I have a swallowing problem.
So I hear.
The one thing.
Wait, what?
I have a swallowing problem. Do you guys not know that?
Not cutting this out.
Is that a vegan thing?
Well, I mean, I'd heard.
When you saw me at the B-movie marathon, you noticed I had a swallowing problem.
I would have noticed.
Anyway.
Oh, okay.
What I really loved about the pussycat symbol transition is that depending on what was happening in the movie at any particular time, the sound changed. So if they were kind of down about something, it would just be meow.
Did you catch that? I didn't catch that, no.
It changed a lot. It changed based on their mood.
That's amazing.
Okay, so they start watching television to acquaint themselves with Earth, which is an interesting technique.
The best training montage in film history.
Oh, yeah. And this is where we get another song. And if anyone would like to say anything about that song, that's fine. But the basic idea is, afterwards, Betty Blue is fully on board the plan of going to Earth and finding men.
I wanna be where they are. I wanna be a woo.
So Pooh finally leaves, and then we get the song. But we find out that Pooh really doesn't like music.
Yeah, she doesn't like that everybody is singing, and that comes into play later
because
on.
This isn't some sort of like musical theater. This is real life.
I like that bit. I thought that was funny.
If you start to sing, I'm gonna sock you in the nose.
It's a good like breaking the fourth wall kind of bit.
Yeah, exactly.
It actually goes well.
So okay, I'm just gonna toss this up in the air and see who wants it. Let's talk about their spaceship they used to get to Earth.
Chris wanted it. Chris already brought
Chris,
it up,
oh,
so
that,
he should
Chris,
have it.
Chris, go ahead. Talk about the
Do
spaceship.
It, baby.
All right, well, this is the spaceship that was built for them for their mission to Earth. I don't remember too many details about it, but it doesn't look like a rocket ship. It It looks exactly like a 2009 Honda Fit, or, you know, that's how it's known on Earth.
Our engineers have constructed a spaceship that looks like an Earth vehicle. On Earth, this would be known as a 2009 Honda Fit.
A 2009 Honda Fit.
It's a car.
Wait, what?
Very, very crafty of the pussycat people to create a car, a vehicle that would fit in so well.
Can we get back to the training montage just a little
bit? Oh, yes, because please, because I love this training montage.
It's all about them just, like, they've got little stick figures, like, having sex on a whiteboard.
wait, pause that. Okay, yes, as Betty Who is teaching them about human interactions, there's these sex positions on the whiteboard. And by the one, the stick figure 69ing, it says hold breath.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Any great science fiction is really a mirror. It is a mirror that we should be holding up to ourselves and going, yeah, that's so true right there. Hold your breath.
They're practicing their ditzy giggles for each other. it's so good.
But we should probably address the other elephant in the room just so parents
not everything is an elephant in a room.
Just so parents know that they can keep the podcast on, there is absolutely no nudity. There are no real sex scenes. That's only kind of implied that it happens. I mean, there's some foul language. There's some, you know, the subject matter maybe is a little risque, but
there's a little concept later on that may not be child friendly, but you know, we'll leave it up to parents.
That brings me to the last line of the training montage. Let's consume alcohol and procreate.
I would like to buy you a drink and procreate with you.
Oh, wait, no, that was before the training montage. Never mind. I got that all wrong.
Mike, talk about the 2009 Honda Fit in space. Please.
Didn't we already do it? We just did.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, but there's another song in space.
I'm not entirely stable.
Yeah, it's great.
Chris, is this your favorite song of the film?
Yeah.
Is it?
This is the one I referenced that in my quick take.
So then they meet some idiots.
Why is Blue not entirely stable? She seems like just a good old planet pussy farm girl to me.
Yep.
Planet pussy cat, sorry.
Pussy cat ball.
Okay.
You can tell where my head is.
Okay, so they crash outside of Albuquerque. They split up for two cycles. The three of them go one way, and Betty Who goes her own way.
I got to stop you right here. You brought up two cycles, okay? Now there is, if there's one problem this movie has, it is timekeeping. So Betty Who says that she'll be back in two cycles, which I think the movie takes place over what, 2 days? Is that about?
Yeah, I think so. I'm just gonna agree.
Okay, at the beginning, when they talk to Queen Betty, she says that it has taken them 259 cycles for them to realize they'll face extinction without men. So they just kind of realized, just like not even quite a year ago, that they'll face extinction. But none of the Bettys going to planet Earth remember their fathers. So
oh, I see what you're getting.
That is an excruciating amount of detail that you've put into this plot.
So I'm a little, that's taking some points off the end for me right there. Just the non-explanation.
Wow. Those are, that's serious,
what a cycle really is.
Okay.
Hmm.
All right. So what happens, Jay? I think you were getting to ask me about what happens.
Yeah.
After
the crash. Talk about the three dudes. You were, let's talk about the guys.
Well, all I need to say is that there's three guys that the non-who Bettys. Betty Who goes off to a bar and just murders everyone every night for the rest of her time there.
Well, that's what I want to talk about.
But yeah, it's weird.
Well,
right?
It is weird. I don't get it.
Well, she tells the other Bettys to just stay at the car. I'll be back in two cycles. Like, what the fuck are they supposed to do? Not meet a bunch of guys? Come on.
Well, my question is, the guys are hanging out in the apartment and they have no real plan of anything to do for the weekend. So they're talking about watching Empire and Generations to see who the best captain is. And they get into this argument. This is a total, like, side thing here. I just want to ask, because Paul is our resident Star Trek biggest fan, expert. And so they'd make a thing about how, like, Kirk and him being what his rank was during Generations. Paul, right. What was Kirk's rank during Generations?
During, oh my God. During Generations, he was, fuck my ass. An admiral, wow. I think.
Ah, but they said he was demoted.
Well, yeah, he was demoted in Star Trek IV, but I would assume that by Generations he would be, no, maybe he was still a captain. Yeah, you know, he was a captain. You're right. He was a captain in Generations. Sorry, Star Trek fans. Well, sorry.
Hey, to piggyback on this, there's a similar problem with their reference to the Empire Strikes Back, which they're referencing Captain Piette, who was promoted to Admiral when Admiral Ozzel was choked to death by Darth Vader.
I mean, but isn't it great that they even put this stuff in there?
No. All this is going in. This is what I don't understand. I have this in my notes right here. It says Andy wants to watch something called Empire and Generations. Are they implying that they want to watch Empire Strikes Back and Star Trek Generations?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
They want to see who the best captain is.
Absolutely.
Captain
between
Piette
who?
Captain
between Kirk? Between Kirk and who?
I just told you, Paul, Captain Piette.
I'm drunk. What kind of comparison is Piette and Kirk?
Okay, I'm going to stop right here because this is going to go down a crazy rabbit hole.
No, that makes zero sense whatsoever. I think what they were trying to do is skirt any sort of copyright infringement by saying Empire and Generations, implying that both of those films were in the same franchise to just sort of skate any sort of Star Wars, Star Trek stuff.
They're not trying to say they're in the same franchise.
They literally say Kirk in the conversation.
I know, but they never mention anyone from Star Wars by name.
That's what I'm telling you. It's Captain Piette.
Well, either way, this is why my notes say, meet the dumb guys, and then for the rest of my notes, they are just referred to as idiots 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, I only have Andy, I think. Is it Andy? He's the main guy.
Yes. Excuse you, Mike. I think Andy and Betty Blue make a very cute couple. I bought it entirely.
I think
that's fine, but Nick and Dan are goddamn.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a great scene with Nick a little bit later, and it's the closest thing to nudity you're getting in this movie.
I wouldn't classify that as great.
We have Betty Who walking past a homeless woman. And did anybody else know that her shirt, notice her shirt was stained just like on the boob? Like
yes.
The homeless woman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is my final note in my notes, Jay. So if I may.
This is it?
What?
Well,
this is like 10 minutes in.
Everything else is pretty self-explanatory. And you know, let's be honest, we got to move this thing along.
Okay.
Does this movie have an anti-homeless message built in? Because she just kills a homeless person.
She's killing people left and right.
Well, maybe it shines a light on a problem. You know, maybe it's not so much anti-homeless.
By killing them?
Well, it's saying that there's so many homeless that if aliens come to Earth, homeless are going to be the natural victims.
Oh, yeah,
also,
okay,
also, Paul, how else are aliens going to be able to afford 2 tequilas?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
2 tequilas.
Also, the 3 idiots have a conversation about how, later on, how they think that they're killing people. So,
if there's a scene to establish a real dick, it's this next scene where the guys are playing cards, and I believe his name is Nick. He said he wants to go to garage sales where kids are playing.
What is this?
This is terrible.
What even is this?
Children are playing in front at the garage sales, and they want to buy this guy. Nick wants to buy all the toys, and then take their toys out into the street and smash them.
This made no sense.
It didn't make any sense. But at the same time, I'm like, if you're trying to establish a dickweed, that's a dickweed.
Yes, it is. But
can we talk about how the Bettys get wasted just off one sip of booze? Because they are not like us.
Kind of like me.
They do not like liquor.
Okay, just so everyone knows, too, they don't smash toys. Just that doesn't happen. So
they just talk about it.
Everybody starts drinking.
But they all wanted to. Every one of them wanted to do it.
Oh, they didn't actually do it, but we see it in like a, well, not a flashback, but what would you call it?
Like an imaginary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A perspective flashback. Yes.
So everyone's drinking. We have all the girls meet the three Bettys meet three guys. Meanwhile, Betty who has gone into a bar, taken a tequila shot, and it's song time again. And I think this is some of the most interesting lyrics of the whole movie.
Suicide, ass down porcelain.
Ass down porcelain?
What?
Tequila Ipecac?
Visions of sex, tequila Ipecac.
Mike, please say this is the one that you wrote the lyrics for.
No,
Wait, I wrote one of the lyrics down. Cut out his sex organs and freeze them in a bag.
Cut out his sex organs.
Yeah.
And
that advances
the plot, baby.
Oh, yeah, but, and this is where we find out that Betty Who just wants to rip some dicks off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like so. This isn't Betty Who doesn't have a shot of tequila, like a whole shot. She has like a literal tiny sip, and then gets sick. So goes to the bathroom. The reason ass up porcelain is because she's vomiting in the bathroom.
Ass down porcelain, Mike.
Whatever. I don't know. It does none of it makes sense.
It's her violent urges coming out is the point of the song.
Yeah. And so now she does. Now we get a whole musical number in a gross public restroom.
So can we talk a little bit about sorry, Mike, like this is the whole thing with why I don't understand why she has all these violent urges. And the other girls don't. Is that explained at some point?
Yeah, in the car, in the song. She's the best warrior of the Pussycats, and she wants to kill a man.
And she's unstable.
She hasn't killed a man yet.
I don't think the three four Bettys got quite the same level of understanding out of the earlier training montage. Like Pooh, no. Caw, and Blue seem to understand that they're going down to have sex with some dudes and get pregnant. Who just thinks she's going to cut off some dicks and that's going to solve their man problem?
But I think that's her thing. I think she's going rogue there and like she's got her own plan.
Oh. So it's sort of a difference of philosophy. Like, listen, we can procreate without having to have sex with these nasty guys.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it.
Got
and the thing is, yeah, you're right. She does either. I don't know if she's going rogue though, Jay, because at the near the end of the movie, Who?
Well, we can't get there yet. No. We'll save that.
Oh, no spoilies.
What it comes down to is I really think Betty Who totally misunderstands what it means to get some dick.
I guess we don't know their specific orders. But I want to say when the three girls are hanging out with the three guys, they're eating junk food and they're starting to kind of like drink beer a little bit. And I really appreciate it. I think it's Betty Pooh? Correct me if I'm wrong here, but there's an amazing spit take in this.
Not Betty Who. There's a couple of them.
Ka. Petty Ka is always hungry throughout the movie. Her mouth is full of cheese.
She has a mouthful of Cheetos and she drinks a beer and just spits it all over.
Is she the tall girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
And they are downing Cheetos.
Oh my God, they love junk food.
Well, I mean, because it's the best food they've ever had.
Yeah, it's the puffy ones too, not this fucking like crunchy Cheetos.
So then we abruptly cut to Betty who has chopped off a dude's balls and put him in a fridge, with
like literally showing it. She sings a song about it that we watch her do it over and over again throughout the whole movie.
Yes, but might I add, whoever she killed in that very first scene. Had some very sensible choices because there's some Earth Balance vegan butter, right? Just
yes,
perfect. What? Did you notice that, Paul?
What?
Totally. It's the only thing that you can see in the freezer.
Yeah, she opens the freezer to put in the dick and balls, and there is some Earth Balance vegan butter. So that guy, hey, good choice.
For me?
And we're not sponsored, by the way. So we're back at the party. We have another song. Our main guy, Andy. Wants Betty Blue real bad.
Jay is trying to just roll on this thing.
He's
so nervous about the edit.
Is everyone drunk?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. I didn't have dinner. This shit hit me hard.
Oh my God.
These guys.
Keep this in. Jay, keep this in.
No, this is good. This is good stuff.
The edit. flies through the air.
Well, what I actually like about the relationships between everybody in this movie, this is real talk right here. Like, there are different levels of sort of the relationships working between the guys and the girls, right? So Betty Blue Andy are really sort of like the ones that click the most. And then
Betty Kaa.
Yeah. And Nick?
Yeah.
Is it Nick?
I can tell you. Yeah, it's Kaa and Nick, yeah.
They are okay. You know, they're sort of like, yeah, it works. It's cool. It's okay. And then Betty Poo is just sort of like, whatever. I could take it or leave it.
Yeah. Poo and Dan, she's just, yeah, she gives them a hard time.
And that's real life, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I cannot wait until Aaron Hendren hears this, because there's a decent chance he probably will Google his own movie at some point.
Yeah,
and this will come
up.
Aaron, please reach out to us about this. Just
no, why don't we reach out to him?
But I'm just saying, if he hears it first, please.
He will. Like, we'll reach out to him, and we'll say this podcast exists, and then he'll listen to it, and we'll be saying, reach out to us. We want to talk.
Well, hey, he was just in Chicago, like, in May this year, last May, for his latest movie.
How do you know that?
Because I Facebook stalked everyone involved with this movie.
He does.
Oh, not just girls.
Jay, he does his goddamn job.
Facebook stalked everyone.
He's doing his goddamn job.
That's okay.
It's called research,
well
Jay.
Well done, Chris. Well done. Well done. Okay. Let's just at least get 2 points down before something happens.
That's great.
Wait, okay, so Blue and Andy have sex.
Mm-hmm.
The guys want to take the other two girls shopping.
Ugh.
I just want to say how jealous I am of Andy. Like, yeah, dude. Go, like, hell yeah.
Would you brush her teeth way, the way Andy brushed her teeth?
No, that's the worst thing ever!
He used his own toothbrush.
Let me set it up, and I'm going to pass it to Mike. So in the next, after they do it, on that night, Andy's brushing his teeth in the bathroom, and Betty walks in, like, I guess, like, she doesn't know what brushing teeth is? Yeah. I don't know.
Of course not.
Are you looking for him or something?
But, I mean, he starts brushing her teeth, and, like, I mean, he brushes her teeth.
It is an uncut shot of him brushing his teeth. She comes in, and without the camera looking away at all.
Dentists would be proud, because he gets it. He goes in, spends the time up and down,
Andy,
like, he brushes her
teeth. What really impresses me about this whole part here is that it's done in one take. This is one uninterrupted shot. The camera does not pull away.
It's,
I mean, Goodfellas got nothing on this brushing scene.
Wait, Mike, are you surprised by this?
What do you mean? By taking a toothbrush that's been in one human's mouth and then seamlessly inserting into another human's mouth and then brushing their teeth without even fucking rinsing
it? You have been in movies. I know this because I've directed you in a movie. And in that movie, I spit fake blood directly onto your face. When you're making a movie,
no.
You do what you got to do.
Yeah, and you know, this is one thing I love about this podcast
so much
is that we really learn a lot about each other.
Paul, listen, everyone else. Wait, Paul, I am so proud of these actors and how well they can deal with this disgusting situation that Aaron Hendren, the director, has come up with because the level of disgustingness that is, I'm gonna show on. It's like a gross out video.
Would you,
like, there's nothing worse than watching someone brush their teeth, take the toothbrush out, and put it in someone else's fucking mouth. It is absolutely vile. It is uncalled for, and I won't have it.
Well, you had it. I mean, you did watch it.
I did have it.
What's really great about Mike's rant is he's gonna flip out when he finds out what I did to his toothbrush at the 24-hour B movie marathon.
Oh,
did it happen 3 weeks ago?
Definitely happened 3 weeks ago.
Chris, yeah. So Betty Who has a pink mohawk. What's with that?
Yeah, I don't know what. What's with that?
I don't know. You tell me. She takes her hair off in the bathtub.
Yeah, I think they were trying to, you know, give her a particular look for the film as if she was sort of a leader. And decided to change it up, and I was surprised. I don't know if I wasn't paying attention, but I did not realize, honestly, that she was wearing a wig.
And you know what else I was entirely surprised by? That they gave her the wig back right after this scene.
Yeah, it was only that one shot that she just had a big pink mohawk sitting in the tub, just looking at the camera.
It's almost like she shaved her head and did a mohawk without telling the filmmakers, and they had to improvise that she did a haircut. Because who would do such a thing?
Yeah, I mean, come on. Getting haircuts in the middle of filmmaking? Who the fuck would ever do that?
Y'all, Chris.
I would do that. I did that.
I don't want this thing to get ugly. Let me just say that Chris, while we were filming Late Afternoon of the Living Dead, which you could see if you just go to our website and click the link, Chris would routinely get haircuts during filming of the movie, which was awesome. Let me just tell you, that was awesome.
Is it awesome?
I'm going to let it sit for now. I'm sure we'll do an entire podcast where we get into that in great detail.
But
so there is some haircutting scenes I want to talk about in this movie, because Blue is shaving part of Andy's chest. And I mean just like a part of his chest. Yeah, the Blue shaves Andy's chest.
Well, where the hair is. He's just got the hair
there. Like the hair in the middle up top. Everywhere. Like top middle. So
yeah, he just happens to have like that bust of hair in the middle of someone's chest. He's one of those types of humans. Yeah. I've met a few
who?
Dudes that have.
Are you one of those?
I'm not going to name names. Friend of the podcast, Chris Arneson, who has a puffed of hair right there, and then like nothing else, and it's just one.
I'm sorry, like people who are listening to this are going to have no idea what the actual plot of this movie is, because we're just throwing out things like she brushes his teeth and then she shaves his chest.
Well,
it's going to be just chaos.
It's really, it's pretty light on plot, really. It's more about the interactions between the characters.
It's true.
Did Mike say that he can summarize this movie in a minute?
What's the movie called? All right, for the movie Psycho Betty's from the Planet Pussycat, here's what happens. All the men die on Planet Pussycat, so they have to send out some warrior women to go get some testicles from Earth. One of the women gets testicles, the other three of them find some dumb idiots, and then that's all the whole thing that happens. And then, so like, they interact with them, and then they get back together, and then take their Honda Fit back home after they've, like, killed who? Done.
30 seconds.
Well, I wasn't perfect. I have to go back and correct my shit.
What about...
Is that it?
Is that it? So,
yeah, it's an easy plot. They
you got 25 seconds left.
We got to keep this going? Okay, so what did I miss? There's a gross toothbrush scene. There's a shaving scene that's interesting. They like burritos a lot and Cheetos. And then there's a fetus with it that eats a chip. The fetus eats a chip.
That's later, though.
That's true. It does. It happens.
Oh, done.
Good job, Mike.
So at the bar, Betty Who is alone because she's killed all of the men. And finally, she attacks the bartender.
Because he told... Well,
finally.
And it's just the worst knock-knock joke ever. I wanted to kill the bartender, too.
When I say knock-knock, you say, who's there? When I say Betty, you say, Betty Who?
It's so awkward. It's so awkward.
But it's supposed to be. It's clearly supposed to be.
Yeah, and then Betty Pooh. It's Betty Pooh, I believe, who has been resisting the whole musical bit, finally comes back and gets drunk on wine coolers and decides to sing.
A sip of wine cooler.
A sip, and she wants to sing.
And she just looks straight on into the camera and says, Paul?
Fuck it.
You're nothing to me, yeah. Like you could have guessed. I'm not flattered when you try, and you'll never stand a chance. But, oh my stars, I love the way you dance.
It's pretty great. And then she's about to finally kiss her man, and then she pukes.
Why does he have a pole in his bedroom? Like a straight-up stripper pole.
It is.
What?
Because of the movie. Yeah, he has a stripper pole in his bedroom.
Yeah, she dances around a stripper pole. It's a load-bearing stripper pole, Chris.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes so much more sense now. Thank you. Thanks for clearing that up.
Sure. And then I think this is a reveal. I don't know if you guys were, hit by this the same way I was, but we see Betty Who. She's been luring all these guys back to the apartment, and then chopping off the genitals and putting them in the freezer with the vegan butter and all that. And
yeah,
then we realize here that she really has been collecting all of. It's not just about murder. She's been collecting all the dick and balls. And in the freezer.
She's got them in a big cooler.
And she puts them in a big cooler now.
Well, it's to keep them chilled for the voyage back to Planet Pussycat.
Yeah, so, I mean, was that a surprise to you guys that she actually had them all and put them all in a cooler? Or was that, what'd you guys think of that?
It made sense to me because I think with the first guy, she put his junk in the freezer or something, I think. So,
yeah, we saw it once. I was like, oh, she's been doing this
I didn't catch that they did that in the movie, but it makes sense as we're talking about it. Because she's killing guys, but still following the orders of the queen, technically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On her own terms.
Yeah. Right, exactly. It's kind of admirable.
Yeah, she did a great
job.
I'm
not having sex with all these guys.
And that cooler she filled up, I mean, she can't even lift that thing. She's dragging that cooler back to the 2009 Honda Fit spaceship.
Yeah. That's almost exactly what my notes say. Who drags the cooler full of genitals back to the 2009 Honda Fit? That is not a sentence I ever thought I would write.
It's weird because we haven't talked about the bar she's going to, but the bar she keeps frequenting is, it looks like the outside area of a shitty wedding or something. Like, it's just
what?
Not a
We've
good,
all been to a bar.
It
that
doesn't
looks
look like
that.
A bar. It's not a
I've
bar.
I've been to a bar
it
with
is,
all of you that have looked like that.
Yes.
The squirrel cage.
Yes. The next morning, everybody's sleeping. The girls kick out the guys to save their lives because they're like,
oh, no. You forgot. You missed the best. One of the best parts is that we think, oh, yeah, we got a lady in some underwear. You get a little shot of the bra coming off. And you're thinking, finally, some Bettys are getting naked. But it's Nick.
I never really expected any of them to be honest with you.
He slept with Betty Kaw that night and I guess had such a great time. He decided to...
Oh, yeah. Betty Kaw, when they were shopping, Betty Kaw wanted him to wear all that stuff.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
She said she was going to give him a haircut and do his makeup.
I saw that shot and I'm like, please let this be one of the guys because there were there were
Paul,
so many moles
100% me too.
And there was no figure, there was no shape whatsoever. I'm like, please, I can't be attracted to all this women this entire movie and then see that this is what it is.
Okay, so here's a major plot point, I suppose.
Space PMS.
The idea is, in the morning,
God damn it,
Betty Blue realizes that her clock is broken.
Her clock is broken.
Her broken clock, yeah. And that means she is pregnant. Meow. She doesn't know what to do about being pregnant.
That's Betty Blue.
Yes.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that because I thought that she understood, I mean, that the mission was heading in that direction and, you know, that she had a pretty special connection with Andy. So I figured that she would kind of expect that to be happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she was really clueless about guys with their broad pecs and lumpy genitals. So I'm not really surprised. She was
and
a
here's an interesting
here.
Thing, too. So the guys go and hide at one of the dude's mom's house. And they do what they do. They chill and they drink. And they start talking. Everybody knows that Betty Blue is pregnant. And so one of the guys starts giving an impression of what the alien baby would look like or sound like. And that goes on for a really long time.
Papa.
Jay, you did mention the song about Betty Blue not knowing what to do.
Yeah.
And to her, it's still a dream. For the past couple of hours, I've been sucking cherry sours. Who was I to doubt you, alone without you? There's something in this life. Every bitching night brings a bitching morning.
Every bitching night brings a bitching morning.
I don't know. It's fucking what? What does any of that mean?
It's awesome. It's yeah. I mean, what do you mean what?
What do you mean sucking cherry
sours?
She's
drinking cherry sours.
No, she's not. She can't drink alcohol.
She had a sip. No. Betty Who takes the cooler full of genitals back to Planet Pussycat and checks in with the queen.
Well, she doesn't just do that, Jay. She has a song, too.
She, of course. This is all done through song.
And the men will cry from their sissy little eye.
She wants to use the genital cooler to clone men, and then she wants to blow up the Earth, and then the queen agrees. And what's the method of blowing up the Earth?
I don't remember.
I'll let someone else say
it. You don't remember?
Oh. How can you not remember this?
I know.
Oh, my God.
Hudson, one, two, three.
Pussy rockets.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
Yep. So the Earth is in imminent danger. The girls are still back on Earth trying to protect the men. The blonde dude is playing video games, and everyone's pretty much just watching.
The girls really miss the guys.
The girls do. I mean, there's some real relationships going here.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what happens when every bitchin' night brings a bitchin' morning.
Yeah. You know, these dirty thoughts are getting Jesus. The best of me.
And Carl reveals her clock is broken, too.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
And it wakes up Nick from across the city.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. They talk about the pregnancy at some point, and they showed a zoom in on the Betty Blue's fetus, right? It's just sitting there in the womb, and it's like, oh, I'm pregnant. Boom, zoom in on the fetus. And then they zoom in on Betty Ka's fetus, who has been eating food all movie. And you see it, it's the same fucking recycled thing, except there's this little orange like Dorito that it eats.
It's great.
It's so good. It's fucking brilliant. It is fucking brilliant.
So Betty, I'm not sure why, but Betty Who comes back and really crashes the 2009 Honda Fit this time.
Yeah, there's no getting that 2009 Honda Fit back in the air again.
Chris, I appreciate the fact that you used the full 2009 Honda Fit name.
Well, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, you can't call a 2009 Honda Fit by any other name.
No, not 2013 Honda Fit.
No.
Anything like
2000,
that.
No.
It's a 2009 Honda Fit. Sorry, it's 2009 Honda Fit. I am really glad that you edited in that little honk honk noise effect every time we say it.
I hate you, Mike. Betty Who confronts the other girls and says she's completed the mission and it's time to do some rocket damage.
At this point, I thought there was going to be a huge showdown between the girls, like a big explanation and stuff. And
well, what happens?
Well, the boys come back to the apartment and they find Betty Who taped to the wall.
Yeah, like the girls, the good girls just stomped her out. there's really no contest there.
Goes to show that Planet Pussycat, even Planet Pussycat's best warrior, is no match for two other Planet Pussycat warriors and a farm girl.
It's true. The guys have to fix the 2009 Honda Fit so that the rockets can be fired elsewhere into space so that they don't pose a threat.
Pussy rockets?
We need you to save the world by fixing our spaceship and firing our pussy rockets into outer space.
And then we get another song.
Yeah. About fixing the car.
They're fixing a car. Like the dudes are, you know, doing all kinds of stuff to the 2009 Honda Fit.
We're coming for you. Fucking adore you. And you adore me to you. Fell into me.
And then we're sort of abruptly in space where you get Betty Ka and Nick. And they accidentally blow up Mars.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah, you know, who needs it?
Betty Blue confronts Betty Who. the news of the pregnancy comes out. This is where we see Betty Kaw's fetus eating a chip. Betty Who, okay, Paul, this is, I need you to help me on this. Betty Who wants to go home. She's like, just send me home. Fine, you win. And they say, no, we're going to banish you to the most lonely place. And like, what's going on here? They banish her. It looks like she's working or just existing in a coffee shop in Hollywood. Is that like a, what is that?
Is that an insider joke?
It's fucking the most genius thing in the movie because they just put across the idea basically that the worst thing that they could do to her is to banish her to Hollywood to a shitty Starbucks to write a screenplay for the rest of her life.
That's what I got.
Laughed so hard.
Yeah. That was pretty great.
So good.
So, Paul, what does it feel like?
Huh?
What does it feel like? Paul,
it feels like my life.
Paul, you live in California. Yeah. You live in L.A. You're the only one there. So, yeah, is that legit?
In fact, I'm pretty sure Paul lives in that exact same Starbucks.
No, I mean, I was trying to, I'm like, okay, they're going to Hollywood. Where is this? I'm like, oh, have I been there? I didn't recognize it, but I felt the feels. I'm like, shit, I've been there. Yeah.
It's pretty great.
I just finished writing a movie, so I spent a lot of time in coffee shops just like that, saying to myself, like, what am I doing? You know, like, am I stupid? Am I an asshole? You know?
What else do you say to yourself?
Well, have you killed a homeless person?
It's possible.
Well, Paul, keep at it. Keep at it, and someday they'll let you return to Planet Pussycat.
Speaking of Chris, everybody does decide to go and live on Planet Pussycat.
Yeah, which is, I mean, come cool. on. Like, Blue and Andy get married at the First United Church of Pussycat.
Fantastic.
Is that what it's called? Yeah. Is that what it's called, or do you
I
make
think
that up?
That's
real. That's
what
a real deal.
Called.
Oh, that's amazing.
And Andy prepared his own vows in the form of a song.
Love it.
And and at this point it really made me realize that there is an awful lot of licking in this movie. Like licking
she licks ears, Betty licking. Blue just licks up and down his face. Mike, did that gross you out?
No, that's fine. As long as you're not putting fucking
Okay. All right. We've hit a nerve that we did not
know
we were going to
hit. Yeah, I'm surprised by that.
What? You brush your wife's teeth with your own toothbrush
we're
at the same time?
Toothbrushes, sure.
Yeah, but not at the same fucking time.
I mean, it's probably happened that it was like back to back. I mean, yeah.
I have known you for at least 2 years now, and I have seen you do and participate in some nasty shit, way worse than sharing a toothbrush.
I'm a nasty boy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. Just think about the 6th annual 24-hour B-movie marathon and all the nasty shit that happened there, Mike. Come on.
There was a pink slime. So they get married. The audience does the laziest choreography I've ever seen in any production of anything ever.
Hey, but it looked like Andy could have his pick of Planet Pussycat inhabitants.
All of them did. He's getting married and all the women want
to
fuck him.
I would like to talk to an anthropologist to see if there's enough genetic variation for Planet Pussycat to survive with 3 men's genetic information.
Well, not just those 3, but I mean, we've got the whole cooler full of dicks that they can clone from.
Well, if
so,
they utilize it, yes, that's
they
true.
They can use that too.
That's true.
So
that actually does bring me to our rating scale.
So you're saying that the last thing that our listeners will hear before they hear Lloyd Kaufman saying rating time is cooler full of dicks.
Yep.
Cooler full of dicks.
Rating time.
We are going to rate this movie 1 to 100 coolers full of genitals.
Yeah.
See, I thought you were going to ask us how many dicks were in the cooler.
That'd be a fun game.
Well, you could tell me if you want, but Chris, 1 to 100 coolers full of genitals. How many? How many coolers full of genitals do you give Psycho Betty's from Planet
Pussycat?
Wait,
this is multiple coolers, not genitals in a cooler.
Coolers full of genitals. Well, never thought I'd ever say those words. This movie has it all. Wow. I mean, this was not a good movie by any means. I mean, like a lot of the stuff, it's low budget and limitations sure come through, but the movie owns that shit, and the acting wasn't all that great. The music was catchy, maybe not necessarily technically great, but good enough, and I really enjoyed it. And I don't know, I thought the relationships between the characters were good, and the smallish plot was fun. This was just a really, really fun movie. So I'm going to give it 80 coolers full of genitals.
Nice. Paul, since you have talked in the past about being the person with the lowest number, traditionally, let's just get that out of the way.
Yes. I can't believe this movie exists. It's the type of thing where it's just like, I can't believe these people wrote it. I can't believe they made it. I can't believe that they followed through on everything and that it actually happened. So, I have to respect that, because when it comes to low-budget independent filmmaking, y'all know that I got a soft spot for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they did this, the fact that they made it happen, the fact that it was funny all the way through, it certainly wasn't the best movie ever made. There were parts where I felt it kind of dragged a little bit, and I'm like, oh my God, is this really an hour and a half long? But they kept it going enough to keep my interest, to keep my attention, and to keep things moving. So I don't have too many bad things to say, really. I'm going to go, what's the rating system?
1 to 100 coolers full of genitals.
I'm going to go 89 coolers full of genitals.
Whoa. Wow, that is a nice low score there, Paul.
I did not expect that, but I am happy with that. Mike?
Yeah, I think this movie is unique and fun. And I mean, you guys have said a lot of stuff about it. The toothbrushing scene.
Are you knocking off points for that?
No, I'm going to try to be objective about it, because apparently you guys don't give a fuck about...
Okay,
at least give her credit for doing it in the film. I mean,
that's the thing. You also get a lot of credit. Oh, yeah, God. She had to... Oh, poor
damn,
Betty,
dude.
Oh.
Something happened to you as a kid.
It's just gross, okay? Anyway, so... I think the movie is very fun, and I think as long as someone, thinking of an audience, as long as someone knows they're getting into a musical, like a low budget musical, this is gonna kill. If you don't know it's a musical, you think you're just gonna watch some shitty B movie with, I don't know, Chuck Norris or something like that, and this isn't gonna be your cup of tea, right? But I don't like those people anyway. Like, those people can fuck off. So what I'm going to say is, shit, man. It is fun. I like a good fucking musical. So I'm going to say 78 ding-dong coolers.
Ding-dong coolers.
Very nice. Very nice.
You have to do the graphic for that, Mike.
That's fine. I can mix that one up. Jay, what do you think?
I picked this movie purely on the title, and I did watch the trailer, and just knowing that it was a low budget musical, I'm like, this would be funny to do for the podcast. And I had not screened it. I was very pleasantly surprised. I did think the actors were pretty funny all the way through. Everybody clearly knows what this is. I mean, it's not trying to fool you into thinking it's anything else. We talked about that. So I am very happy that I picked this movie. It was just, I didn't expect it to be as enjoyable the entire way through. But
yeah,
it really...
Sometimes you gotta roll the hard six.
Sometimes. You really, really do. So I'm gonna say 82 coolers full of genitals. I had a good time.
Very
nice.
I'm a low boy.
That's very nice.
So with that, I would like to turn it over to Chris to see what's going to come up next on B-Movie Mania.
Chris, your budget has to be more than $350. Can you handle it?
I can. I'm pretty sure I can handle it.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania.
Well, brother, the next movie we're going to watch.
Fuck.
Came out in 1989 and tells a story about a faithful fighter having to fight another guy, a mysterious fighter, comes out of nowhere. I haven't seen this movie since opening day when I saw it in the theater. And I kind of want to watch it again. So, guys, what you gonna do when No Holds Barred runs wild on you?
Yes!
I saw it in the theater, too!
Amazing.
Where can we watch that at, Chris?
That's on Hulu.
Check out No Holds Barred with us. And if you like what we do, if you like the podcast, you know, go to your podcast machine and, you know, give us some stars, give us some kind words. It helps us. It helps our ranking, so we're told, by the anonymous suits. You know, so just do us a solid. Is there anything else we need to be telling people about, guys?
Yeah, check out, we've got some badass shirts that are now in our store. So if you go to store.bbvmania.com, you can buy some shirts. We got, they're fun designs. It's awesome stuff. And also, if you just want to, I don't know, like, look at, we're a podcast. We don't make any money really off of this. So getting ratings and stuff like that's great. And really helpful, but we do have a way you can kind of kick back some money while not even having to donate money. If you go to amazon.bmoviemania.com, it sends you to Amazon through our link, and anything you buy on Amazon, we get a tiny, tiny bit of cutback on that, and it super, super helps because we spend a lot of time on this podcast. We record for a bit of time, and then like things get edited. Like a lot of work goes into this podcast, so if you like it. That would be the easiest and most helpful thing ever is if you went to amazon.bmoviemania.com, that will just, anything you buy, we get a little cut on, and it would be so appreciated. And we appreciate your listening and appreciate any, you know, any sort of effort like that too.
Boop, boop.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out, touch them. They are touching themselves, and they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
Space PMS. Blah!